Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week,
with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Vocelli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome in to Jaguars Central for Jaguars This Week. We are not live at, Latitude 30. 2 weeks in a row now that we have not been down there because of phone difficulties. So we have decided to stay at the stadium, and that is where we will pontificate from for the next 2 hours.
Big word.
It's kind of cozy in here.
Big word.
Here we are back. We're out of the rain. We're back in our little cave. It's nice to be with you guys.
It's a good cave. It's a good cave. And Vocelli has graced us with his presence. And Johnny O.
Is that something new? I've been here every week. Logs. I don't know if you realize that.
I was just about to say, you were here last week, right?
Yeah, I've been here every week. Okay. Except for Thanksgiving.
Johnny O.
called in.
Johnny O. was late last week.
Yeah, I was on time. If you don't remember, you and I started the show.
We did. So damn good show, I must say.
I thought the first 10 minutes were the best of the year.
Well, then John and I will lay out. Show us another.
We don't want to hog all the time.
You don't mind
time.
Us sitting in? I get to sit in with Cole on Tuesday, so I'll sit in here.
So what are you trying to say?
Folks, how many words do you get in that show, you think?
I fight for my share.
You probably talk less on that show, and it's a two-man show, than the four-man show we have here today.
It's close. It's an enjoyable show.
I will say that I caught you guys last night.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I actually listened to a little bit of you guys last night, and it was
good radio.
Good.
No,
radio.
You guys do a great job.
Good professional radio.
It's a good good perspective.
Don't talk draft around Johnny O right now, though.
I agree.
It's kind of my stance.
I agree, too.
There's plenty of time for the draft, and Cole and I talked about that.
We haven't even gotten to Christmas. You can't talk draft yet.
I was getting draft tweets in October, and I sent out a – overall tweet to anyone who's following me says, do not ask me about the draft until the season is over. And frankly, until free agency is over, don't ask me about the draft. I don't care about the draft.
I try to start really digging into it around the combine.
Yeah, that's about when it starts.
When it sort of gets fine. And I get that at 2:11 people are going to want to talk about it. And, I mean, we'll probably talk about it tonight because Brian Sexton's.
No, I was just looking at it.
So they're overplaying the lead. He's got his top 10 up there.
Well, first of all, it'll change.
Draft Nick's Mike Mayock list.
Not my top 10.
It will change.
Of course it will.
Right.
50 times. That's why it's pointless to talk about it.
Okay.
But we can talk about it. Go ahead, Brian.
But let's talk about it.
I don't care to talk about it yet.
Give us the top 10.
I'll be honest with you, though. We're talking about 2-11 going down to Miami with three games to play out the string. You know, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the coach being sick this week? You want to talk about a player in the locker room saying practice is too hard?
I knew what?
What?
You didn't see that?
No, what?
Oh, yeah.
It was all over Twitter.
Oh, here we go. Ready for this?
Read me what was said because that just doesn't jive.
Well, okay, hold on 1 sec then. I've got to pull it up. It's Mark Long from the AP.
Well, John, you were there. I mean, what was said?
I can tell, Mark talked to people.
There was a meeting with was a player meeting with Coach Malarkey.
That's what I've read as well.
That's what I thought I read. I mean, I don't know who the – and I thought Mincy tweeted something or somebody tweeted something.
Here's the
from
tweet.
Mincy.
It says, a bit more regarding Malarkey's Wednesday practices. One Jaguars player says, quote, it's like we're playing two games a week.
How is that possible?
And then he came back with something later, 3 hours later, that said Malarkey admitted pushing hard a few Wednesdays, too hard on Wednesday a few weeks ago, the day that Schwartz and Blackman got hurt.
They're allowed to have 14.
11.
Right. 11?
11. And that's why I, you know.
Is that it for real? 11?
11.
Yeah. They're only 11.
You guys played, so you know more.
They're
but
allowed
11 practices a year.
Padded practices.
When
in
I
the
read
season.
That,
it struck me
I
that
was
things
shocked.
Players that are 2-11 say because there's frustration.
Yeah, it's frustration. It's just,
well, that's frustration, but I actually, when I said that, I'm like, wait, two games a week? Well, then. We played in 95.
I mean, we
play.
Did you guys ever go 11 practices under Tom?
Four in the first 2 weeks. I mean, and listen, and I know players don't like hearing this, and when I was a player, I didn't like hearing ex-players say about when we played and all that. But here's the reality. 95, we were full pads Wednesday, Thursday.
Friday.
And up shoulder pads on Friday.
Wait, let's clarify that, because in the Tom Coughlin era, he had full pads and he had uppers, right?
Which were full pads.
Full pads, you know, pants with the pads in it. And then when you went to uppers, the only thing that you subtracted from
nothing,
the
you did
full
9-on-7 still.
It was knee pads.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because you had to wear thigh boards.
And I remember you had to wear your thigh pads.
Yeah.
And so I went up to Tom back at that time, and he was like, and I was like, I said, hey, look, I said, you know, I said, we got to start tailing off at the end of the week. And he said, well, I'm you know, I'm putting you guys in uppers. And I said, hey, Tom, I said, if we go to uppers, the only thing that we lose
is the knee
pads. I said, do you think that makes that much of a difference? And he kind of stuttered a little
if
bit.
If I remember correctly, he wanted the offensive lineman to wear our knee braces on those days too. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
So
we did everything in uppers that we did without pads.
So in
9-on-7, blitz pickup.
95, 96, we basically fulfilled 11 padded practices within the first
2.5 weeks. No, but 96, no. We didn't wear uppers on Friday. Then we just went shells.
But it's still pads.
You went easy on
we just wore those little.
On Fridays.
On Fridays, yeah.
But in 95.
95 all the way through.
We pads. Every day. I mean, we've been 16 weeks and then a bye week. You know, that's 17 weeks. Multiply that by three. I mean, we were padded. We had 51 padded practices in 95.
I remember at the
51. That's almost five seasons worth of padded practices in today's.
I'm hearing a tweet about somebody saying that
we're practicing too hard.
Are you serious?
It's like we're practicing. It's like we're playing two games a week.
And listen, I don't get that.
That goes into the box. That just means it's got a box. You know, you got a box on your desk. You know, where you just categorize everything. There's one that says nonsense, and that's right where that goes.
Well, but this is
it's a frustration
when you're
2-11. It's a frustration quote.
These are things that get said. It's. I mean,
well, listen,
players sit around and say, "What's wrong? This is wrong."
We were 4-12. No one said that.
Is that what we were in 95?
Yeah. Nothing was going to change.
Well, you know, I recall stories that year.
Oh, we complained, but it wasn't going to change.
Right. I mean,
there was no listening.
But there were those same kind of stories. And, you know,
I remember we got, it was like end of 96, 97, where the big, like, break he was going to give us in the second half of the year, after 9-on-7 and after blitz, we got to take off.
That's when he, quote unquote, changed.
Got soft. I'm like,
well, you wonder how he's dealing with this new NFL. I mean, I had people tweeting.
Greatest
me
thing that ever happened to him. Really, I believe that. I mean, that's the rules change might have been the greatest thing that happened to Tom Coughlin.
And listen,
it forced him.
Yeah.
And I'll say this:
Eli didn't hurt.
No,
that helps.
Nah, you're right.
And notwithstanding the quote of saying it's like we play twice a week, because I think that is just a frustration comment.
Right.
I am one that does not think having 51 padded practices in 1 year is the right thing for a professional football player. I'm all for. Listen,
so what's reasonable? One a week?
I think having one padded practice a week is plenty.
So what is that? Five more than they're allowed right now?
Yeah, I think that's plenty.
But we all know how it plays out. In August and September, this was wonderful. We're working because there was hope and a freshness and. You know, you weren't 2-11 yet. When you're 2-11, the things that looked great before look bad now. It's just it's human nature to complain and be upset when things aren't going right.
You took some sociology classes in college, didn't you?
Well,
psychology,
you
sociology.
Were the economics guy. I was a sociology guy.
Johnny O was right in the front row in Psych 101, scrambling them notes.
I've covered a lot of football players over the years.
But John,
wow, that's a charged statement.
And yeah. John, but you're right. I mean, guys are frustrated.
And it's human nature.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Where do you guys think the number 11 came from? It's not even, it's not half, it's not.
Spinal Tap.
We'll practice to 11.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, it's. Well, I mean.
Some negotiated number that they.
Yeah. One side wanted 10, the other side wanted 12.
Who knows?
No telling.
So, yeah.
No telling.
But I found myself chuckling when I read that tweet today. Only, and listen, here's the nature of, and I got one someone tweeted a fan saying, this is ridiculous. They're professionals, you know, football players. What a bunch of babies. And I didn't respond because my response would have been, listen, that's what professional athletes do when you're losing. You complain. You're not happy. Everything's miserable.
What anybody does when things aren't going
well. Yeah, I mean, so it's not like it,
most, not all.
And so I thought it was funny, like just comical in the sense of how things have changed. I don't think it's a big deal.
It's today's story.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal.
I mean,
I don't think that means these guys are soft or don't care. I think it means they're frustrated.
As they should be.
Yeah.
2-11.
And boy, that was a tough one Sunday.
2-11, and you just came off a game that was very winnable at home. You know, and in the first half, I mean, we're going to get to the game in a minute, but I mean, the first half, we had two takeaways. You only got 3 points out of that. And you come out in the second half against a team that has got a quarterback who is playing at a very poor level in Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
And you allow him to have a quarter that
100 yards rushing.
You get steamrolled in one quarter. And I said it in the game. I said, field goals mean the world in this game. And a touchdown is like the
score
gold rush.
Two.
I mean, that's...
It's like two in a normal game.
Yeah.
All right. Joe, give us a break, and we'll come back with more. Jaguars this week.
Can do. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna rolls on here on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today.
All right, the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Want to get back to the Jets game?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there was a couple things that really kind of stuck in my craw. And the first one was, you know, obviously Chad Henne had two interceptions, and I'm not mad at Chad Henne. But I'm mad at the fact that there were guys that got free mm-hmm. on those two plays that affected the play to where it led to the interception. And the one earlier one was in the red zone. You're talking a game that you know every point is crucial.
On a really impressive drive, too.
On a very
used
good drive.
Used quarterbacks, did a lot of things right on that drive.
And the guy that got the hit was blockable. And he was a delayed blitzer, and Chad held on to the ball for a long time. But on that play, when you've got a blocker that can block him,
but who
block him?
Was it who's the back?
Wasn't the back. It was the right side of the line, to where you had Cameron Bradfield
right.
and Guy Wimper was in as a tight end, and so they had a blocker for him. The one that really. Just,
yeah, but if I remember, because they did it a couple times, and I don't know if it was the same thing where. They overloaded the side and made us declare and brought the extra free rusher.
This was a coverage guy that came late.
That's what I'm saying. So they blocked the other two, and the coverage guy delayed blitz comes.
Yes, which very delayed.
I understand plenty
you're
hoping
time.
The ball's gone.
You're hoping the ball's gone, right. But still he's blockable.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The worst one was the interception on the
yeah.
opportunity
okay,
to
before
tie
I
it.
Tell you what I think, tell me what you think, what you saw in that play.
You've got a three-man rush, okay?
And you have a nose, and
a nose,
wide,
and two
wide,
ends.
And two sixes, and which is a ghost player outside the tackle.
Okay, to make it simple for people at home.
Head
okay,
up, guy
you're three
center.
On five.
You've got six-man protection.
Right.
Okay, a back and your five offensive linemen. And for the Jets, they've got three guys with their hand down on the ground, one on the center, and then two wide ends.
Outside
and
the tackles. Yeah.
The Jets aren't thinking they're going to get to quarterback on that play.
No, they're playing coverage, right? And so it's slide protection, and Quentin Copels, who is lined up on Eugene Monroe, goes up the field.
No, he didn't go up the field.
Well, he kind of right came him. Right at
yep.
Eugene,
yep.
up the field where Eugene was
yeah,
going to
yeah.
meet him.
Yep.
And so in that line was sliding in that direction. So Meester's kind of working his way a little bit over. Eben's supposed to be working his way over a little bit. And so Eugene misses completely, which – that'd be okay if he had another guy coming to the outside or even threatening to the outside, which he did not have. So Eugene shouldn't have allowed the guy to beat him clean. But then also Eben Britton didn't continue to kick out to that. So it was really on both of them. But, you know, as a defensive lineman, we used to term a three-man pass rush. We had a name for it. It was called pinball. And especially when it was three-man rush versus a six-man protection, because that's essentially what you were as a defensive lineman.
Three double teams.
It was basically two-on-one across the board. I mean, there's no way that should give up pressure in that instance.
You're right.
It did.
But here's the thing. It was obvious slide protection left because you saw Uche come down to the nose, meaning Eben should have slid. There was no reason for Eben to look inside to his right at the nose.
He should have posted his hand and looked out.
You didn't even need to do that because if you're sliding that way and there's no threat, I mean, it's a double between Uche and Brad. And if you want a slow set looking outside, like you said, drag your inside hand, fine. And I agree with you that Eugene does. You can't just whiff. But here's the thing. This is what Eugene's thinking in this play. Eugene's saying, I know I got slide left. I got a wide rusher. The one place I can't get beat is up the field because there's no help up the field because the back was on the right side. And so I'm going to overset this player because I know I have help inside.
I know what you're saying.
And so he oversets him, taking away the outside rush. Now, where I'll fault Eugene is, even if you overset,
you can't whiff.
You got to at least get enough to redirect him. But here's the problem. Even if he redirects him just a little bit,
it wouldn't have mattered.
Mattered because I don't know what Eben's doing. Eben's looking inside, and they're triple teaming the nose guard.
But you can't whiff.
I get that. But I'm saying even if he doesn't whiff, if he's setting the way he thinks it's going to protect himself.
Both guys are at fault.
I agree. But
either way, that can't happen. It's pinball.
It can't happen.
It's pinball.
But I knew exactly what – and I'm not trying to defend Eugene. I'm just saying –
Pinball Wizard, Elton John?
The Who.
Who around Johnny?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I'm not trying to defend Eugene, but I know exactly what he's thinking in that circumstance, in that situation as a left tackle, knowing where your help is, because if you're going to be smart about it, you set to where your help is going to be.
Nah, either way, shouldn't have happened.
Shouldn't have happened.
I mean, that was your opportunity.
Tie the game.
Chad said after the game that he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. I got a lot of emails from fans saying,
He got hit in the mouth.
But
where is he throwing it?
He was clearly trying to throw the ball out of bounds and got hit too soon.
And then he got hit while in motion.
Right.
And it took all the velocity out of the ball, and it was an easy interception for the Jets. Game over. You know, and those kind of plays just can't happen. I mean, that kind of a play is inexcusable up front. I mean, that's the kind of play that no problem. Quarterback should drop back the pass,
and I wonder,
have a latte and read the front page.
And I wonder what the
and then decide to go ahead and throw the ball after that.
And I wonder where the communication broke down, because I would think, you know, if I'm playing left tackle, I got my left guard, the protection's called whatever they call their slide protection left. It's called in the huddle. As we get to the line of scrimmage, see the front, I'm saying something to him saying, you know, you're my hip pocket, you know, or as I walk up the line of scrimmage, I've done that. Say, I'm going to overset him. So if I get beaten, you're going to be sitting in my hip pocket if, you know, I'm going to take away the outside. And so I wonder, and obviously there was no conversation because Eben immediately is looking inside and not looking to help in the slide protection. And so, and you could tell. Eugene, before the thing that I thought was interesting and a little bit gave a little chuckle, Eugene is literally yelling at Eben before Copel's hits.
As Copel's releases off Eugene, Eugene's got his hand in there.
Yelling at Eben. I'm like, I ain't going to help you
there
now.
There you go. Right.
Wasn't good.
Not good.
All right, Joe. Send us to break here at the bottom of the hour. News is next on News Talk, WOKV.
Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more. Get better.
All right, rolling right along here. This is one of three remaining two-hour editions of this show left. So tonight, next Wednesday, and then the Wednesday, the day after Christmas. End the two-hour edition. We come back to 1 hour in this studio for certain after that. I'm guessing at some point we'll be back down at Latitude 30. But we don't have any word yet, do we, Joe?
We do not.
Okay. Are we getting food tonight?
We're on a week-to-week basis.
Well, forget week-to-week. Are we getting food or not?
Allegedly.
There was an email I ordered for you. You wanted the California turkey burger, right?
At this point, give me anything. I'm hungry. Surprised.
All right. Well, but Phil sent an email to you.
Chocolate pudding.
Chocolate pudding. Let's go. Bring the chocolate pudding.
Commercial. Yeah. Once I saw it the first time, I saw it 37 times.
I can't get enough of it.
All right.
I have it on TV.
Just do what I do.
Our DVD.
What?
I don't watch much TV, so I don't see it 37 times.
Well, just teach your kids to walk around and go cha-ching. Daddy's making money. Okay. So let's go back to the Jags-Jets game and talk a little bit about the defense. Nice job, 54 yards, holding Sean Green and that group down in the first half. Third quarter, they gave up 83 yards.
Three good quarters, one bad quarter.
I don't know the exact quarter count.
I think it was 83 yards.
But, I mean, that there was a couple drives there. The one drive to where they handed the ball off to the same guy every time.
Powell.
And went 40-something yards down the field and scored.
Well, if it's working, why would you stop?
It was a really good play.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, they talked about they changed the scheme a little bit, and they did run some play that was a little different where they pulled linemen to the interior, which typically is not what happens unless it's just a basic trap play. But they were pulling two guys to the inside. They ran a misdirection play one time where the guard stepped one way and then pulled back out, almost like a goal line action where they faked the handoff. So it was something different.
Yeah, they were pulling the H-back and DeBrickashaw Ferguson, the left tackle, up in, blocking out with the right tackle and pulling up both inside.
It was a little different, but still, the Jaguars played what was a Bear defense, which is the named after the, you know, the 86-85 Bears, and which is a 46 defense, and they didn't play it very well.
What that is there's a guy lined up over the center, both guards, two ends, and you bring one of the linebackers up over the tight end on tight end side. Mm-hmm. So it's a very good run front.
It's a very good run front stopping the run, and the Jaguars weren't able to do it with any success. And then in the fourth quarter, they went back to one of their four-man front looks and were able to stop the run. But I mean, when you're talking about a game in which points are so important, you know, you allow one quarter of success, and that's the game. I mean, that's the game. I mean, it was. I mean, when
they
Jets
scored 17 unanswered.
When the Jets scored one touchdown in that third quarter, I went, "Uh-oh, that may be enough."
And they got up 17-3 and basically played the rest of the game, figuring the Jaguars. They basically said, Joe's laughing at something.
I just got an email from Philip over at Latitude 30. It says, stuck in traffic. Food's on the way.
But
get out of traffic.
They basically said, we don't think you can score three times before we score once.
Yeah.
And they shut down the game and, you know, played percentages and won the game.
And that was it's just disappointing, you know, that, you know, you played so well, you know, with that defense, you know, the first half, and Mark Sanchez looked like you kind of expected him to look, which was basically incompetent. And then in the second half, you come out like has happened before.
Well, it's back-to-back weeks. Against the Bills, they gave up 73 yards in the third quarter. Last week, they gave up 83 yards in the third quarter.
So I don't, you know, I can't explain that other than, you know, that can't happen to where you have one bad section of a game. I mean, you're not good enough offensively to have a bad quarter of football and overcome it.
But there's been so many wheels come off, you know. Chicago, Cincinnati, Houston, where going well, and then boom, the floodgates open. And it's a pretty obvious comment, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean it's disappointing, and you know that I thought Rex Ryan did a pretty good job, you know, kind of keeping the pressure off of Mark Sanchez and allowing his running game to take over, and that's kind of what I expected them to do. And the Jaguars weren't able to match that challenge in the third quarter. And didn't end up getting a win, and that's kind of how it goes. And this week against the Miami Dolphins, you're probably going to expect to see much of the same. And I'm sure the Miami Dolphins will draw up a couple of plays that were very similar to what the Jets ran against the Jaguars here. It is a copycat league, and they're going to find out if the Jaguars made the corrections on defense.
All right. Here's
And then defensively, for the Dolphins' defense is better than the defense we just faced with the Jets as well.
Yeah, they're better. They're better, I think, on first and second down, but overall, they're not better. I mean, the Jets is a very confusing.
No, I disagree.
Defense.
They have one of the best third down defenses in the NFL. Go look at
the
percentages.
They do. They do. But I mean, if you look at if you asked a quarterback which defense he would rather face, the Miami Dolphins or the Jets?
Well, I'm just telling you.
Without a doubt, he would say, "I'll face the Miami Dolphins."
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I've done 3 Dolphin games, watched that defense, and while they might not have the names in the secondary, Sean Smith is playing well. That front 7 is much better at rushing the passer, like night and day better.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one of the best third down defenses percentage-wise of getting people off the field in the NFL.
But for a quarterback, though, he would take the Miami Dolphins.
No way. I'd rather have Cameron Wake.
You're talking about individuals. I'm talking about the
Cameron
scheme
Wake,
and the
Randy
preparation
Starks,
for the game.
You know, their pass rush is much more dominant. The pressure on the quarterback will be
concerned about that.
Wow.
Ask an offensive lineman who he would rather face, the Jets or the Dolphins.
Quarterbacks I talk to don't like getting hit in the mouth. And Cameron Wake, as of 3 weeks ago, had the most quarterback hits out of any defensive lineman in the entire NFL.
Well, we'll agree to disagree. But I would rather face the Dolphins. It's a much simpler scheme. It's a good scheme. I'm not saying that one of the others is worse. I'm just saying it's an easier scheme to predict and to prepare for.
Let's go back real quick to the Jaguars defense before we break. You know, we talked back in the spring, and you and I have talked on the air about the talent of Terrence Knighton. And when fans see the run numbers, they immediately go to the big guys up front.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty clear that Terrence Knighton has not earned a big payday this season.
I think
he may be issue with him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't.
But when you watch
say
him play,
why he hasn't gotten and risen his game to another level, I will say that he is in for a surprise, but I just know that the market for him is not going to be near what it could have been if he had had a good year.
He's still, as we've talked about, I think Monday, Jeff, he'll still get action in free agency because defensive tackles get action in free agency, but it won't be nearly as much as it could have been a block. You know, he could have set himself up unbelievably in this market, and it won't be that.
You know, and I do want to give credit to C.J. Mosley. I think, you know, C.J. Mosley has held that starting job for most of the year, and it has been deserved. He has played hard. He has played like this football team is fighting for a playoff spot or home field. I mean, every week C.J. Mosley brings it. And, you know, the play that really stood out to me with C.J. Mosley in that ball game was the nearly punt of the punt he nearly blocked early in that ball game, because he absolutely destroyed the center on the after the snap and then almost blocked the punt. I mean, that's the kind of performance that you need to have.
Great effort.
An effort play that you don't draw up, it almost happens, and that's what you need to win.
I mean, give him a lot of credit. I thought Jason Babin was solid in the game. The one play that he made I thought was outstanding. Stack, strip, you know, recovered fumble. I mean, huge play in the game. Love the way he plays the game.
And plays hard.
The term relentless is used. I mean, I think sometimes – too often, but it can't be used too often when you're talking about him. He has been a great addition for on-the-field stuff. I think Mike Harris has played exceptionally well. I mean, he was a guy that after training camp, me and Tony had an argument. I thought he was a heck of a player, and Tony told me he was garbage.
You're crazy. Quite the opposite. I said, Mike Harris will be on this team, and Locke's, no way, terrible camp.
I mean, he really proved me wrong. I thought he'd be a guy that would be good for the practice squad and hadn't really shown enough. And
Good tackler.
Man, he has had a real nice, pleasant season. And he's played a lot of roles. You know, he's had to play nickel. He's had to start at corner.
He'll come hit you.
Last week. Very, very sure tackler. Very long arm. The play that he made at home a couple weeks ago in which he stuck his arm out the last second in the corner of the end zone against Tennessee, I mean, that was a veteran play. I mean, that was an extremely aware play that he made for a rookie. I mean, rookies just don't make that. Usually they run right into the wide receiver and cause an interference play. And he stuck his hand out, timed the eyes and the hands of the wide receiver. I mean, his play has been very encouraging.
All right. We need a break. Joe, let's take it now.
You got it, Brian. You could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Cons Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's location and learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary.
All right, Joe, thanks. So don't forget the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL-1. What do you think of Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill, the rookie quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, for those of you who are following along at home.
Playing like a rookie right now.
I think he's playing like a rookie, but I think he's been okay for a rookie.
You've done some Dolphins games. You like him.
I do like him. I mean, you see games where it's rough, and the hard part, if you're Ryan Tannehill, you look at what Luck and RG3 are doing, and to be compared to that is you're not going to win. But I think if you look back kind of historically what he's done, he's flashed. He's done it from day one. I think if I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, if I'm in that franchise, you know what? I have a lot of hope going forward for what he's been able to do his rookie year.
If I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, I don't know. It's kind of where I'd be with him. Because the jury's still out on him.
Well, it's obviously still out, but I'll say this. What I've watched so far, more positive than negative.
And it's interesting how much the perspective on that has changed, even just in the last 2 years, on what you expect out of a rookie quarterback, how long you can wait on
him. Just going right there.
I mean, it's just – it's remarkable. You know, Tannehill 3 years ago would be being judged on a completely different scale than he's being judged right now, primarily because of Griffin and Luck, but because of a lot of guys.
Right, but if you watch – and, Jeff, I know you watch – I know you watch a lot of tape getting ready for these games. It's not like he has guys – that are running wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does not have a great stable of wide receivers.
No, he has moments, I mean, much like Gabbert has had, to where you go, wow, that was a really nice play. Wow, that was a really nice throw. And then there are moments that you make you go, don't know. I mean, so similar to Gabbert in a lot of ways.
Well, I'm trying to make the comparison here, and I'm looking at the numbers. And Blaine finished last year, completed 51% of his passes, 2,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 65.4 quarterback rating. Mm-hmm. And if at the end of last year you listened to a lot of the folks around the country, well, he couldn't play at all, right? I mean, because of what they perceived to be fear in the pocket.
What are his numbers right now?
Tannehill has completed 57% for 2,709 yards, 8 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and a passer rating of 72.5. So, you know, a little better in some areas, a little less in some other areas. But basically, and I bring it up because
a little more willingness to go downfield, which is still where, you know, Blaine gets a lot of criticism.
Well, and I think one thing that's helped Ryan Tannehill is that his offensive coordinator was his head coach in college.
Absolutely.
His quarterback's coach was at Texas A&M with him. The offensive line coach was at Texas A&M with him. And so he's had a little bit of carryover from college to his rookie season. He had a full offseason to prepare.
I agree.
There was no lockout. So he's had some advantages going into his rookie year.
Yeah, but the jury's out, right?
Absolutely.
To you it is. So that just begs the question, what is the timeline for a quarterback? Does everybody have to be?
Well,
Cam Newton, RG3, and no one's going to be Andrew Luck.
No, but it makes it tough because, I mean, much like we're seeing with Blaine Gabbert, the question with Blaine now is he's had this time and he's shown what he's shown, and probably what he needs, probably what Tannehill will wind up needing at some point, is more games, more live action, and it becomes a question of is a franchise patient enough to give him that? And I think that is much, much shorter than it used to be, and it's going to be a question whenever you have a guy who's not performing like these other guys for a while, that's going to become the question. Tannehill certainly gets more time. How much time, I think, is much shorter than it used to be.
Well, and when you look at Gabbert, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but there aren't any quarterbacks. There's not a Luck. There's not an RG3. I mean, if you look at the board, there's maybe a Tannehill.
Well, the one thing with Tannehill, though, if you look at it, I mean, he's going to throw this year for 3,300 to 3,500 yards. I mean, that's not a – I mean, he's going to throw – I mean, he throws the ball down the field. I mean, they have a – now, he throws too many interceptions. He does not have a great receivers. But, I mean, you look at his numbers, I mean, he's going to end up probably with – you know, let's say 11 touchdowns and 15 picks or something like that and 3,300 yards. I mean, that's not obviously your interception to pick numbers aren't great, but you can go back and look. A lot of young quarterbacks have bad interception to pick, but he's going to
– in the first year, right?
In the first year, but he's going to throw for quite a few yards. I mean, that's – and now he's going to have two more games than Blaine had, but he's still – you know, if you probably compare apples to apples, he'll probably throw for close to 1,000 more yards.
All right.
But I now, guess this team last year was Maurice Jones-Drew heavy, and so it's hard. I think you get in trouble if you just try to do a direct comparison because it's not always, to Jeff's point, you know, it was a lockout, tough, you know, situation as far as all the peripheral things going on for Blaine. And so it's not always an apple-to-apple comparison, but I think
– Well, you've seen them both. I guess I'm asking
I think
you.
Ryan Tannehill will get 3 full years there, and okay. I'm not sure – But based Blaine, on, and I'm not sure Blaine does.
Okay, but what you've seen – Where is he better than Blaine? I mean, what does he do better than Blaine?
After his rookie
because,
year,
well, because so, no, it's not like you're hearing from a team that's lost no, five no, of their last yeah, six, yeah. and from people around the country. Well, the Tannehill that was that pick.
He shows
work out.
From if I look at Blaine from his rookie year and Tannehill his this rookie year, Tannehill is more accurate down the field throwing the ball. From what I've seen, I'm just saying rookie to rookie, year.
Right?
And he has a better pocket presence than Blaine.
Okay, and that's fair because. Blaine had very little pocket presence last year at all.
I mean, he you watch him in the pocket, and he looks there's a calmness about him in those situations. Now, does he throw bad balls? Absolutely. Does he throw into coverage where you're like, what are you looking at? Absolutely. I think a lot of young guys do. But he throws a decent deep ball, and I say those are the big differences that I see.
In talking to Mel Tucker, because he said
am I sold on him?
Just
no, I'm like, Jeff, I mean, I think the jury's still out, but I'm probably a little bit more bullish and more positive with him at this point.
He certainly has played well to make you think he could still be the guy. He's just got to start playing better.
That, to me, watching him and the team on film the last 3 weeks, I mean, they beat Seattle at home. They end up playing.
I did that game.
They play the Patriots
at
home. He
played pretty well that game.
Yeah, and played the Patriots within a touchdown.
Played well that game.
At home. Go on the road, and at the four-minute mark in San Francisco, we're in the process of driving to score a touchdown to tie that game up with inside of 4 minutes. I mean, that was impressive.
Right, the big thing
what I've been saying, what I've been saying about this Miami team since I saw them early, this is a pretty good Miami team.
You have been saying that every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night. I think this is a team that is not that far off.
The one thing
they have no
done.
Playmaker outside. Like, if they wouldn't have got rid of
Brandon Marshall,
I am sold on the defense. Offensive line, they've underperformed this year, but they're not terrible. But they've underperformed, and they have no playmaker. You look at this team and the games they've lost, outside of getting blown out by Tennessee, which I have no idea how that happened.
Turnovers. A lot of turnovers early.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm saying, but you know, that just gets away from you. This is a team that's been in games and played pretty well.
The defense also has not created a lot of turnovers in the last 4 or 5 games,
right?
Which keeps you, if you don't do that, you're generally in tight games and you're not getting ahead and not getting, you know, wins. So that's hurt, but they are a good team.
We've hit the end of hour number one. We'll look around the National Football League. There's certainly plenty of stories to follow here as we head into week 14 in the National Football League.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who? Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. We are not at Latitude 30, but you wouldn't know because the guys, Phil, thank you, just sent up food, pizza, turkey burgers, Johnny O with a salad. So
very salad good. And pizza for Johnny
O. Yeah, he doubled up. We're not there tonight. We hope to be back there for at least one of the two remaining shows, maybe both of the remaining 2 hour shows next week and the week after. Our number tonight, 355-NFL, one of the Metro PCS call-in lines, 800-355-6351. Bob joins us from the beach. First call of the night.
Bob, are you there? We don't know who it is.
All right, let me put him back on hold. I thought you said Bob was there, so that I missed. All right. Maybe it's Bob. Maybe it's not. Maybe it could be you. So what do you make of the, you know, what's your reaction to Paul Tagliabue's ruling with respect to the bounty situation in the New Orleans Saints?
I've always kind of been on the opposite side of the table of our former radio guy, Vic Ketchman. I liked Paul Tagliabue. I think Paul Tagliabue was good for the game. And I think the relationship that Paul Tagliabue had with the players, I think, was a strong one. And I think Roger Goodell, when he first took over as commissioner, took a very heavy-handed approach. And I liked his approach at first in that he really wanted to clean up the off-the-field stuff. And I think that that was a position that most players supported. But the problem that I had is that the heavy-handedness of stuff that happened on the field, I think, has gone way too far and has been way too heavy-handed by Roger Goodell.
But in fairness to Roger, and put into light the situation he inherited, Paul Tagliabue never had to deal with the concussion issues, the league perception of the game being too violent, the lawsuits against the NFL. And Roger had to, in my opinion, I think he's done a great job. I disagreed how far he went on the bounty. I thought he was
I'm talking long before the bounty. And the concussion issue hasn't been until the last years.
This thing's been building up for the last few years.
It's been coming, but early on in Roger Goodell's
In my opinion, he had to make rule changes because of what was coming down with the concussion issues and everything else. And so I don't think he had a choice. I think he's fighting a perception issue with the league. Now, I think, listen,
I thought
the punishment of Jonathan Vilma was way too strong, even if he was the ringleader of a bounty system.
I mean, Tony, look at what they were going to do to Ed Reed. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, I think in the ruling that Paul Tagliabue had, I think he explained himself very well in critiquing Roger's reaction to the bounty thing, and that he said there's a way to change culture and that there's an informational time period. And then after that, then you can come down to with stiff penalties. And hey, look, I like Roger Goodell. I mean, I love what he's trying to do to the game as far as cleaning things up off the field. But I think the way he has been heavy-handed with this transition and this clean up the shots to the head and the concussion era, I think he's gone about it the wrong way. Now, I'm not saying that he's been totally wrong, but I think there was not a softer approach, but there was a more direct approach with the Players Association, and he hasn't worked that fashion at all.
At the same time, he wanted to send a message to the Saints and the teams, you can't do this, and the Saints season is a disaster because of it.
I'm talking about the relationship between the players overall, because if you had built a rapport in a relationship with the players prior to the New Orleans Saints thing, then I think that you wouldn't have, you know, one of the leaders of the union, Drew Brees, you know, calling out the commissioner.
Yeah, but wait a second on that one, because I think it was 3 or 4 years ago.
He hasn't been
Drew
the only
Brees
one.
And Goodell were buddy buddy, you know, seeing, you know, this kumbaya relationship. Am I wrong, John?
No, you're right. I mean, like the kumbaya right
until this bounty case. Now listen. My guess is, Jeff, you and I probably aren't that far off because I do think the Ed Reed thing was too. I think some of the penalties
that was over the top.
It was too over the top. I get why he's doing it,
but actions
how
like
else
that
do you send a message that you know it,
right.
But see, that's
if you're trying to change the way these guys play,
it's not just changing
it's hard
the way,
to do.
It's not just changing the way he plays, guys. There is a $1 billion lawsuit, whatever it
right.
is, and he is as the leader of the NFL is trying to show in very strong terms that he is trying to make this game as safe as possible. And I don't agree, you know, with to the letter everything he's done as far as the amount of fines or suspensions. I understand, and it's a very difficult situation that Paul Tagliabue was never in. And I like Paul Tagliabue as well. The other big difference is, Jeff, I think why there's a relationship issue between the commissioner and the players, Paul Tagliabue and Gene Upshaw did a great job of having a partnership and working together. And I know not everyone agreed with everything Gene did, but the one thing he always, there was that at least perception that it was a two of them working together. DeMaurice Smith, from the time he's been there, has been very adversarial against Roger and the whole lockout. And so there was a natural war. And I'm not saying it's all DeMaurice Smith's fault, but between the two of them, which ends up being the players in the league, through the lockout and a lot of other things, became a very contentious relationship. And if you remember back to the lockout, this, and this had nothing to do with fines or bounties or anything else, players were taking all kinds of shots and saying some very mean-spirited, is a nice way to say it, about the commissioner.
And Drew Brees included.
In his handling of the lockout. Like, he was the one dictating this, and that he didn't work for 32 owners, and there wasn't, I mean, so it was, and then DeMaurice Smith, and you and I have had this conversation. I think both sides need to do a better job of figuring out how to work together, because some of the real issues that need to be worked out get thrown to the side for these little bargaining chips and, you know, one-upping each other in negotiations.
I just think Paul Tagliabue was much more amicable in dealing with players.
But you don't think that Gene Upshaw had something to do with that?
Yeah, I think Gene had a lot to do with that, Tony, but I just think that Paul was thoughtful, thought things through, and was probably a little more patient.
I mean, you dealt with him, so you might
But, I mean, like I said, I'm a big fan of Commissioner Goodell, but I just think that the heavy-handedness, long before the Saints bounty, long before the concussion thing started to crop up, I think he was very heavy-handed with off-the-field stuff, and I was for that. But for on-the-field stuff, when you have split-second decisions being involved, I thought he went too far.
So how does Tagliabue's ruling impact the relationship between the players and the commissioner going forward?
I'm hoping that it helps kind of mend the fences, so to speak.
Well, I mean, there's been some people, Vilma and Breeze, who've, you know, come out and pushed it even further to the other side.
Yeah, but that,
their comments,
I mean,
are Saints, antagonistic.
The Saints are going to have an issue with Commissioner Goodell as long as he's commissioner.
Well, and if any member of the Saints right now, I mean, they're not thinking with a clear head. I mean,
ruined their season.
Their whole season was gone because of the ruling by the commissioner. I mean, from the head coach being suspended for a year and Joe Vitt,
and the one
to
thing
all the key players. I mean,
as much as anything's ever happened along those lines.
Right.
The commissioner took 1 year out of what is a very short career window for professional football players.
Right.
And that's hard to stomach from a player's standpoint.
Sure is.
And I would be in the same boat being very vocal about my discontent with that ruling.
But who knows how you recover from it as a team.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But you think outside of the Saints that it is possible for a respect level to be built back up for this commissioner?
Well, the one thing I think that he...
it sure seems like he had his knees taken out from underneath him.
Whether it's purposeful or not by what Goodell has done, even if you look at the Ed Reed thing, where he had the strong ruling, but he has set it up now where he has Ted Cottrell and... Teddy Cottrell and one of the some other guy that are actually hearing the appeals now, so and Roger doesn't hear the appeals now.
Is it
Cottrell actually?
Teddy and Art.
I think it is Art Shell.
Yeah,
they actually backed, and he ended up backing down Ed Reed's suspension, and so it might. No, I don't know if it's purposeful by Roger or not.
That was a message, but see that. But when you send that message, it's really sending two messages.
Right. Well,
that's the problem with that.
Right.
You know, we were talking earlier about talking to a 1 year old, right? When you have two parents and one of them says no and the other one comes in and says yes, all of a sudden the one who says yes, the child is back in their court the time,
make no
looking
mistake,
for the answer.
There's still only one parent. It's Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell did this because I think smartly he realized he needed to get a third party involved.
Agreed.
But
in doing so, did he create for himself a situation where they're always going to be looking for a third party?
No. I mean, the system's – I mean, he has set that up that way where there's going to be appeal processes. But listen, Paul Tagliabue is not looking for another job. I mean, it's not like
– it could, you know, well, there was the arbitrator Dr. or Judge David Doty, right, who always was there for them to go to. And then he was eliminated from the process in the latest round of collective bargaining. So now all of a sudden, it seems like the union and DeMaury Smith would rightfully be looking for a third party in every situation.
Well, that's not what the collective bargaining agreement states now, but that's certainly going to be something that's going to be pushed for in the future.
Be another issue.
You know, and it's the same thing with the fine level. I don't put all the blame on Roger Goodell for the heavy-handedness. I also put some of the blame on DeMaury Smith because some of these fines are standard amounts. And
meaning they were bargained.
And some of them are astronomical. I mean, you know, some of the fines you can understand if it's a star player. But not everybody's a star player making the same amount of money.
But they gave Roger that.
But that was a mistake.
Sure, it was a mistake.
That was a big mistake.
I mean, it should be some percentage of salary. So if you're making minimum, you're not getting fined $75,000.
Well, it doesn't have to be written to where, you know, this fine or this offense is this. But I mean, as a commissioner, you have to use some common sense.
You can't find a borderline practice squad guy the same as you would Jason Babb.
No, that doesn't work. I mean,
I agree with you there.
You can't. You know, it's to me. I mean, you have if one guy gets a $100,000 fine, one guy you know, he might be making $8.5 million. For another guy, that may be 1/4, 1/4, maybe a. I don't know what the minimum is for a rookie now, but it could be a third of his salary. And the other thing that I have a complaint about is that a lot of the fines for the on-the-field stuff with all this transition to concussion awareness, and I understand why it's happening, but intent is never, never taken into account. For example, James Harrison, who, you know, the league has basically put up as the poster child for everything to not do. I mean, one of the hits that he had that he got fined an exorbitant amount of money, his target was low, and the receiver dropped his head down to meet where the target point for James Harrison was. And yet Harrison's the one who loses a six-figure amount out of his paycheck.
The hit on Muhammad.
Well, the league and the competition committee for a long time now has tried to take intent and judgment out of these situations.
But you can't.
Well, but their philosophy is they want it out. Yes.
With split-second decisions.
So it's not just the commissioner who's doing that.
I know, but I mean, you can't.
I mean, philosophy across the board has been, I mean, from the elimination of the force out rule to the overriding philosophy of the league over the last, you know, 5-10 years has been, let's take judgment out of this and let's make everything as across the board.
Yeah,
as
but
possible.
When you're talking about fines, intent has to be taken into account, and it's not.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More to come. Jaguars this week from Jaguars Central instead of Latitude 30, but we certainly appreciate the grub, guys.
Yeah, speaking of that, Brian, need to book your last-minute holiday party or luncheon or dinner. Don't just go to another restaurant. Give your event some Latitude. Luxury bowling, play games, live entertainment, and delicious food. Call Latitude 30's event specialist today, 904-324-2455. That's 904-324-2455, and take your event to the next level. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week, live from Jaguars Central. Metro PCS call-in line 355-NFL1. Let's go to the phone lines. James is in Kentucky. Hello, James. How are you tonight?
How are you tonight? Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
You got to turn your radio down, James.
Am I okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, I tweeted you this earlier the other day, and it was about Chad Henne's play. My question is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, John Clayton had wrote that that Chad Henne's play might save people's jobs in the organization. Now, no one knows what's going to happen at the end of the year, of course, but right now, 2-11, obviously, changes may be made. I want to know your guys' thoughts on Chad Henne's play and if it's that good to save people's jobs in the organization, and I'll take off the air.
Not that in and of itself. I mean, John's a national writer, and I'm not sure how current the information and the thought that he had was being passed along at that point. At 2-11, I'm not sure the play of the quarterback, even if it was great, at 2-11, everything's going to be evaluated. So I'm not sure that Chad's play specifically so far would be enough to save or cost jobs by itself one way or the other.
I don't have any idea because you know we have a new owner here in Jacksonville.
Right.
You don't have any history. You don't know what decisions are going to be made. But I do know this. John Clayton may have the best ESPN commercial that's ever been made.
True.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Where he's got the dress shirt, and then all of a sudden he's got the long ponytail in the back.
And the Slayer
t-shirt. I guess the point with the caller there, Jeff, and it's a great commercial, but we're going to get a ton of these kind of questions the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Sure.
And it's going to be, is this going to decide this? Is this thing going to be the factor? Is this going to be the decision point?
We all may get fired.
Right, and you just don't know.
You never know.
2-11, no one's safe, including the radio guys.
Definitely including
especially
the
film
guys.
Guy.
Film guys, film radio guy. Guys.
I've seen some film lately that's been pretty shoddy.
Here's a tweet from Steven. He says, how does a player like Evan Britton regress so much?
You know, that's a great question because we were talking about that. And, you know, Evan Britton, when he played right tackle, I thought was a fairly solid player.
Now, this was 3 years ago.
Yeah, three years ago. And we were thinking that this is a guy that can develop and get better, be a physical, kind of a brawling right tackle. And then last year, we thought, okay, you know, he had the shoulder injury a couple years ago, and then last year he's got the back injury. And then since he's come back from the back, you know, I couldn't say anything, but I believe that Evan Britton's a good football player, and he's going to recover just because of what we saw, mm-hmm. not so much this year, but in years past, we were thinking, okay, he's going to be okay. And now that he was back in the lineup this past game, you almost start to wonder, has the back affected something with the feet and the agility of Evan Britton?
Logic
because right now,
tell you it's something.
Right now, he is not playing like the Evan Britton that we saw in the first couple
of
years.
Not even close.
No. And, hey, look, I love the guy. I think Evan's a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy. I mean, he's one of those guys that you want him to play well because he's got a great attitude. He is a leader and a natural leader. But your leaders have to play well to be leaders. And right now he's struggling, and his feet aren't there. His knee bend is not there. And last week he got beat on one particular play, not the last play at the end of the game, but a one-on-one situation against Quentin Copels. And you were just like, that was really bad. And because he got beat so quick. I mean, it was like he was just a stationary bag, and then boom, the guy went right by him. And, you know, and I feel bad for him because, you know, Evan, you know, he's struggling. You know, he's not used to this either. I mean, he's been a competitive player. And I don't know what it's going to take to get him playing back to the Evan that we started to feel really good about after the first couple of years.
Well, and Coach Malarkey's comments earlier today, you know, led – me to believe at least that he might not be the starting guard this
I
week.
Would not be surprised if he's not in the starting lineup this
Steve
week.
Vallis, you know, from what Mike said, was going to get a serious look, and Mike said it remains to be determined who's starting, which leads you to believe that it remains to be determined
who's starting.
Well, that's kind
of what was said when they talked about Evan and Brewster.
Right.
And then Brewster was eventually the guy. You know, and that's I guess, you know, Mike's kind of handling it in the right way because, I mean, you got a guy who's giving you everything he's got.
Right.
You know, it's not like he's a guy who's dogging it,
right.
You know, and
yeah,
has the ability to
there's
play.
Something physically wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Mean, looking at Evan and seeing what you've seen in the past, the knee bend's not there, like you said, Jeff. The strength, the quickness, the quick twitch, the reaction to change direction. I mean, there's something going on. Whether it's his back or some other injury, it's just not the Evan Britton that I've seen in the past.
All right. We've hit the bottom of the hour here, which means it's time for news. We'll come back with 1/2 hour left in Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, normally live at Latitude 30, instead inside the cozy confines of Jaguars Center. Joe?
Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right after news and weather on Jaguars Radio. Well, trying to decide on what to do this New Year's Eve, celebrate at Latitude 30. You'll be entertained by dueling pianos that rock, featuring musicians from Howl at the Moon. It's part concert, part sing-along, all fun. $30 per ticket. VIP packages are available. 904-345-2455 and reserve your tickets now.
No, am I on? Because I can't hear myself.
Here, read this real quick.
Oh, what?
The Metro PCS call-in line. I don't know the number, though.
Really?
No idea.
355-NFL-1.
355-NFL-1. Thank you. I can hear myself now.
Now go.
You're almost as cocky as Drew Brees.
I was just going to say you were reading the Latitude 30 liner.
I was.
That food, I am much happier now.
Good. Your blood sugar stable.
I got to tell you, and I, if you want to try to eat like halfway healthy, that turkey burger over there, I don't know what they season it with, but it is outstanding. Now, I probably didn't need the
second turkey burger.
No, the second burger, that's fine. I didn't need the big thing of chips. I wish I would have preferred some fruit, but the chips were really good.
And I
didn't have to eat the chips,
yeah,
which I did. What's this?
Fruit.
Oh, you were high. You took my fruit.
No, I just moved it out of the way. It was. We had like a table full of food, and so I
moved it out of the way. Translation under his chair.
He won't be contributing to the show for
so now. Tony will be quiet. See, that's the key to having Tony on radio.
What's that?
Is having bite-sized food somewhere within reach, and you just push it over when everybody else wants you to just shut up for a minute.
It's
it's
strikingly like dealing with a 2-year-old.
I wish I had a camera of the look on your face when you smiled and said, "Now, Tony, we'll stop talking."
Okay, it was great.
Tony, enjoy the fruit.
I can still talk.
I know.
Every time we need Johnny O to contribute, we just push the food right over to Tony.
Be back with you in just a couple of minutes. And I have to say, since we're winding down, every week I've had the pizza. It's a wood-fired pizza.
It's outstanding.
It really is good.
It must be good because you do eat it every week.
Every week.
Man.
I don't deter from it. Excellent. Enjoy it every week. So,
I get the steak nachos every week, you know.
Yeah.
That's really healthy.
When are we going to have our bowling match?
Well, we got to get back there for one of the two final shows.
One of the final shows, we should get there an hour early. So we can have the bowl off so we can reveal the scores and the winner.
Well, we can we need to do it
call your shot
in the next couple weeks.
No, that's what I'm saying. The hour before the show.
Well, they got to get the line fixed so we can be there to do the bowling.
What if they get the line fixed?
So when they get the line fixed, whatever, if it's next week, we'll get there there an hour early.
Or here's what we do. At the end of the year when we go back to 1 hour.
Right.
Okay? And things settle down, you know. At the end of the year, sometime in January, we say, on this day, is everybody going to be here? Okay, we're all going to be here. After the show, we are going to Latitude 30 for the bowling competition.
We can do that.
Right?
And we have to see who can eat the most, too.
Well, there's no doubt.
He's tall.
And then we have our bowling contest, and then the next week we come back.
They've got wings. Have you had the wings?
No.
I haven't had the wings either.
There's time.
Do they have chocolate pudding, though?
Chocolate pudding.
That's all we need to know. Do they have chocolate?
Get hungry in the middle of the night.
What else has come out of the owners' meeting? Is it Irving?
Yeah, it's in Dallas.
In Dallas.
I haven't heard of much.
No. You know, the primary reason they went over there was a big salary cap seminar. You know, what's going on with the CBA and
next
like
couple
that,
years so. Lay it out.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's supposed to be flat again this year. Relatively flat.
I think it doesn't make a big kick in 14.
Yeah.
The
Jaguars are well positioned.
Here's a news release. We talked about this off the air earlier. Jaguars owner Shad Khan named as a board member of new NFL charitable organization, the National Football League Foundation. More than $23 million in grants to be awarded in 2013. I'm trying to see who else was named on that besides... Shad Khan, I'm going.
It's good radio.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you something that came out of there today.
Okay, here's the other ones, real quick. Charlotte Jones Anderson, Executive VP, Brand Management, President of the Charity Foundation, Dallas Cowboys. Michael Bidwell, President of the Arizona Cardinals. Mary Owen, who is Executive
VP. Mary made it?
I'm trying to see if there's any other. Oh, wait. Arthur Rooney. President of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's Art Rooney III.
I'm glad Mary got on.
And
I don't know if we would have made it without Mary.
And Leonard Wilf, owner of the Vikings. So three owners.
But Mary's really
is Ziggy's name Leonard?
Huh?
Ziggy's first name is Leonard. I didn't know that.
I guess.
Might be his brother.
That's right. His brother's involved in that, too. Hey, Loggy, here's something that came from the meetings today. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell spoke Wednesday after the special league meeting in Dallas, And he said right now we're with 12 teams, obviously, speaking of the playoffs. We'll look at probably 14 or 16 teams. They're talking about expanding the playoffs by two or four.
Money. Yes, it will happen.
It says Goodell made it clear that the competition committee has considered such expansion in the past.
It will happen.
And it clearly hasn't happened. The benefits of more playoff games are obvious. More teams involved in the race late in the season, and theoretically,
more money.
More money.
I mean, that's
it's not theoretically.
That's the number one reason.
I was reading it.
But to me, I mean, I think right where it is right now, mm-hmm. I think is great.
Where does Mary come down on this issue? Is she? How does she feel? All right,
Locke, you got something to feed him.
Johnny O. Push the chips over in front of Johnny O.
There's two pieces of fruit left. He says, I'll share when there's two left and they're both warm.
Here's a question that I have. How many people will be at the game in Miami? Mm.
They're averaging 50. And I think it holds.
Is that legitimate 50?
Well, it holds like 80 or 78 or something like that.
When have you ever been there that there's ever been anyone there?
Well,
I mean, people want to bang on Jacksonville. Go to Miami.
There'll be a lot of Jaguars fans there this week.
I've done a couple games there this year.
Everybody's going.
It's not very full.
No, it's.
There's plenty of good seats.
It has been from watching film, because you know when you watch the film, they shoot the scoreboard, which is about midfield, and that's where they get the down and distance, the yardage, everything, time on the clock, and then they come down to the field of play, and it's. I don't remember one game where you went, well, hey, there's a lot of people.
No, no, and I think if I got my numbers right, I think tickets distributed, we're at 62 a game, Miami's at 50, and Tampa's at 47.
Right.
Wow. That's rough, because, I mean, that's a, much like this stadium, that's a big stadium.
It's bigger than this one.
And this
isn't
it's a team that's had a little hope this year.
I mean, this is not exactly a marquee game. You know, I don't know how well the Jaguars fans will travel to Miami.
I think we have a lot of fans down there. I think people have been. Don't look at me like that.
I'll be there.
Surprised that you say that you think there will be a lot there.
Well, because I think people. I think
early on,
a large number of fans decide once they're going to take one trip a year. Mm-hmm. I think when the schedule came out, they said, let's go to Miami, end of year.
Do a little shopping, Christmas time.
I think people can drive. It's not that expensive.
I think this is the game people chose. Now, they didn't think, and they thought we'd be competitive, and they're going, and we're 2-11. I mean, right?
No. Yeah, they're 2-11.
I mean, I think they decided before the season ever started.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right.
No, I've gotten quite a few emails from people this week saying,
Jeff looked at me like I was crazy.
I would find it surprising. I mean,
make a day trip of it if you have enough people to drive.
How many wins do you have combined? Seven?
Seven.
I mean, that's, it's not exactly a marquee attraction, you know what I mean?
No, it's not.
But, I mean, if I also do understand that, if it's your team, you go. You support them, you go, and you watch them.
Absolutely. We have great fans. I mean, we really do. I mean, people care.
But next week, there will be a lot of New England fans here in Jacksonville. And I hope that the Jaguars can build. Absolutely.
They come down on Christmas?
Yes.
That close to Christmas?
Yep.
I always wonder about that, if you travel that close to Christmas for an NFL game.
I mean, obviously, the teams that travel the best – Pittsburgh, Green Bay, they're 1-2, whichever order. But Dallas isn't what Pittsburgh, Green Bay is.
Right. I mean, or Chicago.
No.
I don't know. Dallas is pretty good.
But I don't think they're fans that travel from there. I think they're Cowboys fans that are in the area.
Right. That's what I meant. There's just Cowboy fans.
Yeah, you go to, I think it was 2 years ago, the only game that wasn't blacked out in Tampa, wasn't it a Cowboy game or something like that?
But the Green Bay, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Chicago Bears, those people that live in that area travel south to your place.
Tell you what, if Tom Brady was my quarterback, I'd travel to see him play.
He's amazing.
What would you do if he was your quarterback?
Travel to see him play. Yeah.
And what he did on Monday night to the Texans was.
My point is, he's good, Tom.
Yeah, wow. No, I get it. Right. Trust me, thank you for staying.
I was so fired up to watch Monday Night Football. With no other distractions, I wasn't going to turn the computer on. Was just, put my rear end in the seat.
Old school.
And watch a football game. And I put my butt in the seat, and I didn't see much of a football game.
You watched it for a quarter.
I watched it for a quarter, and I was like, all right, where's that computer at? Let's see, where's my laptop? And started doing some work.
Right.
I just couldn't. I'm not surprised. It's Tom Brady.
How did J.J. Watt do?
I mean, he was okay. But he's a defensive lineman trying to stop it. Wade Phillips played him, man, almost exclusively the whole game.
No, but I was actually really asking.
It was the first game.
Was he dominant? Did he sack Tom Brady?
He hit Tom Brady a couple times. He caused a fumble. I mean, he was definitely the best player
ever
on the field.
Ever.
For the Texans, it wasn't even close.
You saw him on the screen, but it was the first game they didn't have a sack all year.
Yeah. I mean, he was there.
But he didn't get him.
No, he didn't.
Pretty good.
Didn't really change the game like he has been.
Yeah, I think we said that.
Was it the throw to Wes Welker where he stood in the pocket and stood in the pocket and stood in the pocket and then stepped up even further when the pressure came? I mean, he held the ball for 7 or 8 seconds in the pocket before finally throwing it.
He is the best.
He's going to be good
at that. And he takes some shots.
He's going to be good. Did they bring you something in a cup that we missed?
Yeah, he's going to be a good player.
Tom Brady or J.J. Watt?
Both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, especially Tom.
He is the future.
Give him a little time to develop.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up with the picks around the NFL when Jaguars this week returns. Joe.
J.J.'s playing hard for Mary. Jaguars Rewards Program now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Just visit Jaguars.com, click on the Jaguars Rewards logo, and start earning your rewards today. Final segment, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is next here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. About 8 minutes left in the program. Time to go around the National Football League and look at games. How about Thursday night? Bengals at Eagles. Eagles on a bit of a winning skid, huh?
Yeah, they won last week. Beat a team that I didn't think they could beat.
Bengals?
I'm going with the Bengals.
Yeah, it matters to them. Matters to them.
Okay. Packers at Bears.
Packers.
Boy, it's a desperation game for the Bears.
It is, and Jay Cutler took a pretty good one this past week. You know, what kind of shape is he going to be in?
Bears defense been exposed a little bit.
Urlacher's still not going to play?
No. Does Clay Matthews play?
They're saying he could be back.
Okay. Jordy Nelson doesn't look like he's going to be back.
I'm going to take Pack. Where's that at?
At Chicago.
Yeah, I'll take
Field.
The Pack.
I'll take the Pack.
Colts at Texans.
I think the Texans win that one.
I'm taking the Colts.
Really?
I'm doing that game, so I probably shouldn't say anything. I'll go on a limb. Yeah, I think the Colts win.
I think that's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Better than the game from Monday night.
I think the Colts think it's be very
not
good.
Fared that well against the really good teams.
No, they haven't, but the Texans haven't fared very good against anybody lately. Their secondary is not very good, and I think the Colts will be able to move the ball, and I think it's going to be a very good game to decide in the fourth quarter, and I just think the Colts, I think the Texans are reeling.
But you know who the Texans have, Tony.
J.J. Watt. I know it scares me.
I'm going with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt wins the game.
Hey, if the Colts win, and does that – I didn't look at the standings. Does that do anything to help the Patriots clinch before they get to us?
No.
No.
No, 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 no. They're at 3 losses, then Texans are at 2.
And so even if the Colts, they're both 3 losses and the Patriots have to win.
In other words, the Patriots are not coming in here and setting down anybody.
No, they have to win.
Yep.
We're looking at
maybe
winning home field throughout.
Yeah.
All right, Redskins at Browns.
Ooh, big question there with RG3.
The Redskins win that game.
Browns.
I am going.
They've won 3 in a row for the first time in 4 years.
I think the Browns are pretty good, and I think it's a mistake if they fire Pat
Shurmur.
Shurmur.
I'm going with Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins.
That's not something we thought we'd talk about. Kirk Cousins. Another rookie.
He's not. I mean, RG3 practiced today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much.
Here's one that
practiced.
Didn't look like it might be interesting early on. How about the Vikings at Rams?
I'm going with Adrian Peterson, my MVP pick of the year.
I'm going with the Rams.
Fisher, I say the Rams win.
Jeff Fisher hasn't been playing very well. I think Adrian's going to get his yards, but I think the Rams are better.
Boy, there's some great games this weekend.
How many sacks, by the way, does Jared Allen have?
I have to go look. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll look in a minute. Buccaneers at Saints. The Bucks. Week after the bounty's lifted.
Bucks.
Yeah,
the
Bucks.
I watched the Saints against the Giants this past week, and they're not very good.
Well, no one
Drew
really.
Brees hasn't been playing very good either.
Not very accurate. Forcing things.
Nine. Okay, Joe tells us 9 sacks for your man, Jared
yep.
Allen. How about this one? Giants and Falcons.
Giants.
Smitty.
Giants.
You know, that's it. I'm kind of torn there. Smitty or Tom.
Is it Tom's time of year?
And the Giants have to win. These are the games they do win. They're physical. They'll get after them up front.
But it's a game the Falcons need. I mean, they need to show themselves that they can win this kind of game
they do.
In the playoffs.
But I just.
But I'm with you. I think the Giants win.
Where's it at?
At Atlanta.
I think the Falcons have struggled to stop the run. And when the Giants can run the ball and they are balanced, they're very tough to beat.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm going with the home team there.
Smitty.
Tom, I'm sorry. I'll pick you the next time if you play him at home.
Seahawks at Bills.
Seahawks. Actually, I picked the Bills.
I'm going to Bills.
I did too. I'm going to go back to the Bills. Seahawks traveling across the country. This is like the third time in 4 weeks they've had to go across the country. They went to Miami, home, Chicago,
right.
Played at home, now back to Buffalo. I think they lose.
Seattle lost to the Dolphins on the road.
Yes. They beat the Bears.
They beat the Bears 2 weeks ago.
But, I mean, this is the third long trip in 4 weeks. I got a sense they lose.
Okay. If you could pick one team to have the perfect travel schedule, either Indianapolis, but probably the Titans, right in the middle of the country.
What about Chicago? Chicago's a great where their conference is.
Here's how you know.
It's almost like bus rides everywhere they go.
But here's why you know. Where's FedEx major location at?
Memphis.
That's great, Jeff.
Right in the middle.
I'm just saying. I mean, Chicago. That's right in the middle of all of the travel.
Ignore them.
Memphis Showboats coming to NFL.
Memphis Showboats.
Mary says.
I mean, seriously. Call Mary and see if she thinks about Memphis.
All right, Panthers and Chargers.
I'm going with Cam.
Chargers.
I'll go Panthers.
Lions at Cardinals.
Boy, what two depressed.
Cardinals are going to win that game.
They haven't won. They won their first four. And
you're
they
joking,
won
right?
Since. Yeah, they lost the last
They're
nine.
At home.
They're going back to Ryan Lindley this week.
It's very difficult to win. It's very difficult to lose 12 in a row.
If you've watched them play, you would see that it's not that
they
difficult for them.
They lost 58 to nothing.
They lost big. They were saving it.
Who are they playing again?
The Lions.
Because
the Lions.
It doesn't really matter.
Right, I know.
The Lions. What a disappointing season the Lions have had.
4 wins.
Very disappointing.
4 wins for that team. 4 wins with that quarterback and that receiver.
Nope, Cardinals got a little something for them.
No running back.
Yeah.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Oofa.
I bet the Chiefs win that.
I'll take the home team. I'll go Raiders.
That's a great old AFL rivalry.
AFC West, I grew up watching.
Who cares?
AFC West AFL, though, too.
Right now, yeah.
Who cares?
I mean,
about as many people who care where the FedEx hub is.
That's just knowledge for you, though. See, that's knowledge, so you can be aware of who would have the best travel
we
schedule.
We all saw Castaway.
I didn't.
Okay.
Steelers and Cowboys.
Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers. They need it.
I'm going with Jerry Jones.
These are games that the Cowboys have to have. They lose.
I'm going with Jerry Jones. I believe in Jerry Jones.
How about this for a change? We will probably all be in our living rooms watching the Sunday night game since we're playing in Miami this week.
Great game.
And what a great one.
Niners at Patriots.
Great game.
How about the Patriots getting those two teams back-to-back, but both of them at home?
As the statement.
In December.
Yeah, Belichick will make it.
It's in New England?
In New England.
Sunday night, right?
Boy, that's a good one.
Yeah, Sunday night.
I got the Pats.
And
I actually think the Pats beat them by 2 touchdowns.
Well, that's not a reach considering what they did
to
the
Texans.
Though.
I think they beat them by 2 touchdowns.
You know, I'm so tempted to pick the 49ers because, I mean, their defense has just so much talent. But how do you make the argument that a young quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, is going to go to New England and beat Tom Brady in December? And what is his record in December?
23-1 at home.
In December.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got to go with the Patriots.
Jets and Titans.
Oh, I can't wait for
I'm
that.
Doing that game, too.
That's money.
Titans. Titans.
I probably shouldn't say I'm doing that game.
Well, then don't.
Titans.
All right. Thanks, Joe. That'll do it, everybody.